Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, we're going to begin there. We're continuing, of course, our study of what we're calling God's truths. We're looking in our grow groups at this semester at some key foundational areas that we need to know and apply. Now, let me just tell you that, you know, when we're talking about grow groups and we say we go from big groups to small groups, and the small groups is where you get to know people and everything. But it's very important that we be taught. Remember, the whole goal is to what? Make what? Make disciples. That's evangelism and training. We lead people to Christ and then we train them. So part of this grow group thing is training. We want you to be able to know and understand key principles from the Bible. In fact, this is what on your little handout right there I've got. We want to be ready. Be ready to give an answer for the hope within us. That's what we want to do. Be ready, and you can fill out your little book there, fill out your little handout. Be ready to give an answer for the hope within us. That means when people talk to you about truths from the Bible, you can be ready to give an answer. You can say, well, this is what the Bible says about salvation. This is what the Bible says about the Bible. This is what the Bible says about eternal life. This is what the Bible says. You know, and you can grasp that, you can understand that, and you can be ready to give an answer. That's the thing. Now, this semester so far, I don't want you to write all this down, but this is what we looked at. We looked at Revelation. Remember, Revelation is God what? God making himself known. Okay, then we looked at inspiration, and that's God making himself known how? In written form. We call that the Bible. Then we looked at the gospel, which is the death and resurrection of Christ and the responses to believe in him. Then we looked at the gospels, which were the four gospels, which basically show the fulfillment of the four prophecies or the four views of the Messiah from the Old Testament. Then we looked at creation and evolution and talked about if you take the Bible historically, literally, and grammatically, you're going to have to go with creation because that's what the Bible says. God said, created the heavens and the earth and all that. Then we looked at the fall and how man sinned, and we saw the penalty of sin, and we saw the provision of sin, which was the seed of woman. And then we looked at the three-phase plan of salvation. What's the three-phase plan? It's called what? Y'all are great with this. Justification, sanctification, glorification. You need to be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within, right? Well, what's the three-phase plan? Anybody goes? Okay, and then reconciliation. Okay, the story of the Bible. What's the story of the Bible? Perfect God brings sinful man back to himself using his son, Jesus Christ. That's the story of the Bible. That's what we've seen. And these are all the things we've seen this semester. So you should know what revelation is and what inspiration is and know what the gospel is and the gospels and know about creation and then the fall and the three-phase plan of salvation. You have been saved. You are being saved. You will be saved. And then the whole idea of reconciliation. Now, what we did last time, if you remember, we looked at the term substitution and the term propitiation. Substitution simply means to take somebody's place, while propitiation actually was a satisfactory payment. And what we realized is that Jesus died in our place, substitution, and paid for our sins. So this is what we put down. Notice the next one. Jesus died in our place. That's called what? Substitution. And he paid for our sins. That's called what? That's right, propitiation, a satisfactory payment. Well, this morning, we're going to look at two more terms. And then the next time, not next week, because next week we have our parties, and we're going to have fun there. But next time, we'll look at one more term to sort of put all these things together. But this morning, these two terms, justification and imputation. And we're going to see how they work. In fact, if you notice that at the bottom of the page, it says, these deal with our righteousness. Both of these terms, justification and imputation, deal with righteousness, how we are righteous. Now, let's start for a second. Let me just ask this question. Are any of us, when a person comes into this world, are any of us righteous? We're all what? Sinners and come short of the glory of God. So we're going to talk more about that in a minute. So we need God's what? Righteousness. So we'll talk about that as we go through it. So these all deal with righteousness. Now, let me ask you this. Sometimes in the old days, you would work and then they would give you a paycheck. And for most people, you'd take this paycheck, you'd go down to the bank, and what would you do? You'd put it into your account. You'd say, you'd write your number down, da, 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 and you'd put it in, and it was imputed, credited to your account. Nowadays, a lot of times everything's electronic, and so your check just automatically goes put in the bank, but it's imputed to your account. Okay, so today we're going to see a truth in the Bible called imputation, which means to credit. It means to put into an account. And we're going to see that as we go through this. It's really a banking term. So let's start. There are many truths found in the Bible that as believers we need to know. We need to understand. We need to pass on. Remember, we said we want to know the Bible, apply the Bible, and teach the Bible. We want to be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within us. We want to know the basic truths of Scripture so that when we talk to other people, I mean, how would you answer? Let me just say that. Don't answer it out loud or anything. How would you answer if you're talking with somebody and they say that you need to do good works in order to be saved? That a person's not saved just by faith, because people can say that all they want to, but if they don't do good works, they're not saved. Would you be ready to answer that? Now, we've been going through Galatians on Sunday morning for a long time, and the whole book of Galatians is dealing with answering that. So hopefully all of us in this room say, well, what I found out from Galatians is this. And what we found out is a couple of lessons ago when we talked about what's the gospel, what's the response by faith, all those kind of things. So we'll see that more as we get into it. Now, this morning, two key truths, and one of them is justification. If you want to write down, justification is a legal term, and it means to be declared righteous, okay? Justification means to be declared righteous, okay? The second term is imputation, and it's a banking term, okay? And it means to be made righteous. Righteous. It has the idea of to credit to an account. To credit to an account. And so I want you to see those two words. We're going to show you how they fit together in the Bible, and then you'll be ready to give an answer. Well, of course, we'll talk about them in our grow groups. If you have questions or input, the facilitators, when you get in there, they'll help you. So let's start with this. And I've got the question is, why do we need a Savior? I mean, we need a Savior. Why? Why do we need a Savior? Because we're sinful. Look, we've all what? Romans 3:23, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? Romans 3:23, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. What does Romans 6:23 say? Wages of sin is what? Death. So let's think about it. Every one of us in this room have sinned, right? And so none of us are perfect, and none of us are what? Well, none of us are righteous. We've all come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is that we're supposed to be separated from God. So we saw that God has a great plan, a plan to reconcile man to himself using his son, Jesus Christ. The plan is that Jesus Christ became a human being, died in our place, substitution, paid for our sins, propitiation. And now we just want to look at another aspect of this, that we need God's righteousness. So there are two terms, and let's start with the term justification. Justification, and this is the definition of justification. And by the way, justification is a legal term, and it means to be declared righteous. Now, let me give you the idea. You got to go to court, and you're standing there. And the judge comes out, and he basically says, okay, based on whatever I see, not guilty. You're now declared right. Now, it didn't say whether you're right or not. Let me just make sure you understand this. The word here is a legal term which means to be declared right. It doesn't determine whether you are right or not. You could have done wrong, but there's not enough evidence against you, and the judge says, I declare you righteous. You're justified, okay? That's what justification is. Now, when we talk about it from a biblical standpoint, we're not righteous, but God justifies us, declares us righteous. Let's see how that fits, okay? Now, you might say this, wait a minute, but I thought we were made righteous. That's imputation, okay? It's a different word. I just want you to see how that all fits in the Bible. Justification means to be declared right. Look at Romans chapter 3, and the very first point that we want you to see is that God, and notice what it says, that God shows us what? Shows us righteousness. Romans 3:21. It says, but now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been what? What manifested means made known, made seen, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. God has shown us righteousness. God shows us how righteousness comes about, how that we as unrighteous people become righteous, okay? The next verse, it says, God's righteousness comes by how? Faith in Jesus Christ. Notice what he says, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all those who do what? What does it say? For all those who believe. For there's no distinction, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, I want you to understand something. In this passage, Paul is saying that God has shown us how we can be righteous. And the righteousness comes by faith in Jesus Christ. We call it justification. We are declared righteous when we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. When we trust in Christ as Savior, we are declared righteous. Notice verse 24, because here's what he says. He says, being justified as a gift, that means it's free, by his grace, that means it's free, through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. God justifies us, declares us righteous, not by our what? Works, but simply by our faith. You got to get it every time. We're never declared right before God by works. We're declared right before God by faith. And Paul says, but now, apart from law, which is, can never have righteousness, God's righteousness is manifested. It's shown by faith in Jesus Christ. It's through the gift and his grace, which comes through Jesus Christ. Then I put two verses, I put them together for you, which is right at the bottom, Romans 3:26 and 3:28, and they basically say the same thing. We're justified how? By faith. Notice 26. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so he would be the just and the justifier, the one who declares righteous, the one who has what? What does it say? What does it say? Nobody can tell me? Faith in Jesus. You have God's righteousness by faith. And look at verse 28. For we maintain that a man is justified, how? By faith apart from the works of the law. So what I want you to grasp from this first thing is that God, as the judge of the world, looks at you, and you are guilty when you stand before him. Is that true? Are you guilty when you stand before Jesus Christ? Yes, because you've all sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, and we're supposed to all die. But God pulls you into the courtroom, and because Jesus has died for you and paid for sin, he's your substitute, he's your propitiation, all of those things. God, the judge, looks and says, when you believe in Jesus, I now declare you righteous. Okay? He declares us all righteous. Justification comes by faith. That's exactly right. We are now declared right before God. What should we do in the courtroom? We should be jumping up and down. Yay! Thank you very much. Were we guilty when we went into the courtroom? Let me say it this way. Are we still guilty when we come out of that courtroom? In justification, we are. Because justification doesn't make you righteous. Justification does what? Declares you righteous. Now, we're going to see how we're made righteous in just a second. So we go into the courtroom and we go, what's your name? Jimmy. Have you sinned? Yes. Have you come short of the glory of God? Yes. Do you owe death? Yes. You're supposed to be separated? Yes. What are you going to do about it? Well, I have believed in Jesus as my Savior. Okay, I declare you right. I declare you right before God. Technically, are you right before God? No, you're not. Justification is to be declared righteous. Now, we're not through. So justification is a legal term to be declared righteous. Boy, that's incredible. Now, let's look at the second part. The second part is even more fun, okay? It's called imputation, right? Imputation is a banking term. If you go to the top of the next page, it says imputation is a banking term. It means to credit to an account. And let me give you the definition. If you want to write this down, imputation, the definition is the act by which God gives us his righteousness when we believe. Okay, now let me show you something. You go before God. What's your name? Jimmy. You sinned? Yes. You owe God death? Yes. You're supposed to be separated? Yes. What are you going to do about it? I have believed in Jesus Christ as my Savior. Justification, God says, I now what? Declare you right. Imputation, he says, I give you my righteousness. I deposit it to your account. So when I walk out of the courtroom, not only am I declared right, I am what? Made right. We stand before God not only declared right by faith, but made right by faith. Does that make sense? Now let's watch it. Let's see how this works, because this is so incredible. Imputation is the act by which God gives us his righteousness. So let me say it this way. When I said it a while ago, are all of us sinful and fall short of the glory of God? Yes. But as far as our position before God is, not only have we been declared right, but he's actually given us his righteousness. It's like you're standing in the court and he says, in order to be with me, you have to be perfectly righteous. Here's your righteousness. I've deposited it to your account. So when God opens the record book, he goes, Jimmy Bond, there it is. Perfectly righteous. No sin. Where's my sin? It's been placed on Christ. How do I have God's righteousness? By faith, he gave me it. Now watch this. You're going to love this. Look at Romans chapter 4. It should be close by where you are because you've been at Romans chapter 3. Look at Romans chapter 4. Look what it says in verse 3. For what does the scripture say? Abraham what? Believed God and it was what? Credited. That's the word imputed. It was imputed to him as what? When Abraham believed, what did he get from God? Righteousness. When you believe, what do you get from God? Now, let me show you something. You're going to love this. If you've never seen this, if you've been through the 4:12 or the 2:2, and you've seen some of this stuff, but watch this. There are three imputations in the Bible. What does impute mean? Put to an account. Here's the first one. We don't like this one at all. Adam's sin was imputed to mankind. When Adam sinned, who sinned? We all did. Romans 5:12 is through one man sin into the world and death by sin, death passed upon all for all what? All sinned. You realize that when Adam sinned in the garden all those years ago, because you were in Adam, that's what Romans 5:12 says, you sinned. So Adam's sin was actually imputed to your account. How many like that? We go, I don't like that at all. But guess what? If you'd have been there, you know what you'd have done? You'd have ate whatever was there. You'd done the same thing. Okay, now here's one we like. You ready for this one? Mankind's sins are imputed to Christ. Where? On the cross. Every sin of every human being for all time have been placed on Jesus Christ on the cross. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray, each one our own way, but the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus, all our iniquities. So where are all of our sins? Where? They're on Christ. How many sins you got? You got no sins. How many sins on anybody's record books are there in this world? No human being has sin on their record book. Nobody. Where is the sin? It's on Christ. If you take any person in this world and go, Bonita, no sins. She has no sins. Nobody. Now, we find that hard to believe that Bonita has no sins, but that's what it says, right? On anybody's record book of any human being that's ever existed and will exist, what does it say on their record book? No sin. Where is the sins of every person, past, present, and future? On Christ. He's paid for them all. That's called propitiation, right? Oh, no, that is good, baby. That's called propitiation, right? Okay, now, if Jesus took every sin of every person and none of us have sin on our record books, why can't we go to heaven? We have to have what? No, not we have to have faith, but what do we have to have? His righteousness. You can't. Absence of sin doesn't mean you're righteous. Absence of sin just means the sins have been taken off of you. Does that make you perfectly righteous as God? No. How do you get God's righteousness? Notice this. The third imputation. Christ's righteousness is imputed to the believer. When you believe in Jesus Christ, he gives you his righteousness. Look at verse 5, okay? Romans 4:5. But to the one who does not what? Work. But believes in him who justifies the ungodly what? His faith is what? Imputed as righteousness. So I want you to understand something. Every one of us in this room, we stood in the courtroom, and God says, you've sinned, you owe me death, all of those things. But I sent my son. He died for you. He took all of your sins off of you. But you're not righteous. But because of your faith in Christ, I now declare you righteous. And because of your faith in Christ, I now what? Give you righteousness. Every one of us in this room, by faith in Jesus Christ, the judge of the world says, I declare you right, and the judge of this world makes you right. Your positional truth, positional place, is that you are a righteous, perfect human being. You have the same righteousness that Jesus Christ has. Now, that's in your position. What are we in now? We're in our experience. Do we live out our position? Sometimes we do, and sometimes we don't. This is called sanctification. This is when we're growing to be like Christ. But in our position, you have been declared righteous. You have been made righteous. So I want you to see something. That's Romans 4:5. Now watch this. We've been declared righteous by faith. What's that called? Justification. We have been made righteous by faith. What's that called? Imputation. So as we stop, I want you to think about this. We already saw that Jesus Christ came and took our place. That's called what? Substitution. Okay. He paid for our sins. That's called propitiation. God, by faith, when we believe in Jesus Christ, God declares us righteous. That's called justification. At the same time we believe in Christ, he makes us righteous. That's called imputation. You got it. You got it. Well, I think you got it. Should we do it again? No. You got it, right? So you see this? Is this not amazing? This is what's in the Bible. That's why when you read Romans and he says, Christ is the propitiation for our sin, or we've been justified by faith, or our faith was credited for righteousness. Those terms are all throughout the Bible. So you must know what justification is, what substitution is, what propitiation is, what imputation is. You have to know those truths so that when you study the Bible, it makes sense. So we thank the Lord that God so loved the world, he gave his son to die in our place, substitution, pay for our sin, propitiation. When we believe, he declares us right, justification. And when we believe, he gives us his righteousness, imputation.